What's the 411? 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intercept, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. Tap into the pulse of today's youth this hour to look at drugs, high school and youth trends, and we have students from Sale School who will speak anonymously about the current culture. I'm Dr. Liz Hollifield. Illicit drugs include marijuana, hashish, cocaine, including crack, heroin, hallucinogens, inhalants, psychotherapeutic medication not taken under a health provider's supervision. 2014's Monitoring the Future Survey of Drug Use and Attitudes Among American 8th, 10th, and 12th graders indicates encouraging news about youth drug use, including the decrease of alcohol, cigarettes, and prescription pain relievers. This hour's program was determined by the students. They felt like we needed to talk about drugs, and they want to talk about them anonymously. So I want to say thank you for, you know, bringing this topic up. And why did you feel it was necessary for us to talk about it? Because all of you were very adamant about it. I'll start with you and go right around.
I feel that it's a very important topic for us to discuss because it's something that, being a kid, you're constantly told, you know, don't do drugs, don't do drugs. You're going to be peer pressured in high school for drugs, don't do them. But it's still something that, like, you know, it's kind of glorified in the media. And we're kind of just surrounded by it, whether it's positive or whatever. We're still surrounded by the drug culture.
Okay.
Another reason is because I feel like we don't really talk about drugs a lot to teens, like what it can actually do to you and the effects it could have on your brain and how, like, we're just young. We're not even fully developed yet. We're not ready to do those kind of things. And I've heard other kids at my school saying, like, whenever we're having, like, a bullying seminar or something, like, just all talking about bullying, they'll be like, why don't we talk about drugs instead? That's something that affects us.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would have to agree with those two because, yeah, like, yeah, we're focused on bullying. Yeah, that really doesn't happen at Sale. Yeah, bullying is a rare occurrence, but drug use, yes, it is. And I know at least two people who I know.
Oh, I know more than that.
Yeah, same.
I think almost half of our student body has at least at one point or another used marijuana, if not other drugs. And I know that that is something that we have a problem with, is kids coming to school every year and they think that that's what's going to make them cool, and they'll go to places that people are known to get high at, and then they'll get, like, they'll start trying all these different drugs and stuff, and they'll just not necessarily get hooked, because a lot of the drugs that they're trying aren't very addictive drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're doing things like hallucinogenics and marijuana. They are addictive to a certain point, but they're not things like cocaine, heroin, meth. They're not like those, which are extremely addictive.
Okay. How prevalent is drug use from your perspective?
Basically, when I'm at car pickup, I see a guy vaping like that. And when I participated in clean sweep, a lot of cigarette butts. I don't know what else, but there was a lot of cigarette butts. And I know there's a couple people who do vape.
Okay.
And some people don't put tobacco in those vapors. Like, that's the thing that they've been trying getting away with now, is you can get weed extract, and it's just basically pure THC, and you can put it in a vaporizer, and you can get high like that.
So that's what people do. Mm-hmm.
You don't have to, You don't have to use a bong. You don't have to light a joint or anything like that anymore. You can put it in a vaporizer. You can do
and now
so
how
much.
How popular is vaping?
It's gotten very popular.
Because a lot of places don't have bans against it now. And you have places that have legalized drugs like Colorado and California and all. You have places that have legalized the for recreational use. And then because of that, they come out with new ways to enjoy it. And then it doesn't stay in there.
So it's popular.
Very.
Yeah, like, okay, in yoga class one time, I was in the we were doing like a wellness recipe kind of thing. There was about, and I was in the anxious kind of group because, like, emotional stabilizing group, and because we were talking about suggestions and stuff, and one of the suggestions was marijuana, and I was just like, okay, smoke. I have a rule when it comes to my friends who I know do drugs. I tell them, smoke, drink, whatever around me, I don't care. Just don't force me to do it. And I even told these people, I even told them like about two times, and we were just like, I really do suggest it though. It really does calm. And I was just like, yeah, it does, but I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And it actually offends me that they actually, that they kept on saying, well, it does calm me down though. And yeah, it does help. And I'm just like, no. Are you kidding me? I'm not doing it.
Kids don't realize there are other things you can do. Marijuana does, like, have its benefits, but we're also, I think we're just too young to, like, be smoking marijuana at this point. And also, it does harm, it is harmful. Like, things can happen. Like, over time, you can, I know they're, like, also, like, could be some bodily harm to it. Like, you could actually get, like, some kind of sickness from it over time. But you could actually, like, get develop bipolar depression, because it'll make you feel good for the moment. But then afterwards, you just go deeper into that depression, and it just doesn't help. And for some people, it can consume them, get in the way of their studies. Like, that's all they care about. That happened with my uncle. He actually went to college, and he got in marijuana, and he ended up dropping out. He went into several different colleges. He was a smart kid, but it just consumed him. He couldn't balance weed in his life. And that's not the thing for everyone.
Right.
But a lot of kids end up like that.
Something that a lot of people don't know is weed pushes back your anxiety for a little bit, but can actually cause you more anxiety and panic attacks later on. It calms you down in the meantime, but it can cause so much more. And something that a lot of kids also don't realize, it's just because, you know, weed isn't as hard on your body as a lot of other drugs, doesn't mean that it's not doing anything. Your brain is still developing until you're 25. So every time you do, you know, any type of drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, that is killing your brain development, you know, until you're 25. That's what I'm saying. If you are going to do it, wait till you're 25.
Is there a lot of pressure from your peers or others? Or where is the pressure come from?
I think especially at Sale, because Sale is such a small school. I'm not sure if it was like this at Leon. One time I was offered to smoke weed at Leon before, and I was just like, no thanks. But at Sale, it's more in your face, and it's less of, like, people pressuring you. It's more of, like,
You're seeing it a lot.
You're seeing it, yeah. And the people are so close, like they do it, and nothing happens to them, so why not? And you kind of want to get in, make new friends with that group, and to, like, get in with those people. You have to do what they do. I think that's what a lot of kids think. To be friends with them, you got to do what they do.
Which a lot of kids find that kind of stupid. But I know for me, I've been more pressured to read different book series than I have been to try, different drugs.
Really?
Yeah. I find more pressure for that than to do drugs.
Or to watch different shows.
And, you know, kids aren't just going to go and offer you drugs. Drugs are expensive. You know, they're not just going to go and give up their stuff for you. That's a complete lie. You know, people don't just hand out drugs, and like at Halloween, that's a thing. It's like, don't take candy because people will put drugs in there. It's like, nobody's doing that. Drugs are expensive. You don't waste your drugs on some random person just for giggles.
You paid all that money. Might as well take all of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, that's the biggest lie I've ever heard, that people are, they're going to force it upon you. They're going to pressure you. The only person that's going to pressure you is someone that's selling. You know, if they're not selling, then they're not going to pressure you.
That isn't totally true.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people that sell that aren't pressuring you, but I mean, most of the people that are going to pressure you are going to be people that are trying to get you to buy from them.
Yeah. I mean, I had one friend who had acid one time. It was like, do you want some? And I was like, no, thank you. And he wasn't really pressuring me. I was just, he was just like, you sure? And I was like, no, I'm good, friend. And I think it's more likely that kids will just say, hey, you want some? And, you know, in that moment, you could think, you know, I want to be their friend. I want to be your friend. I don't want them to not like me. Mm-hmm. And they take it as them pressuring them, when in reality, if they wanted to say no, they could have just said no.
Because a lot of people, they'll respect. If you say no, they'll respect that. They're not going to force you.
Okay.
Yeah, they're they're just asking purely because, hey,
you know, hey, I'm getting high. Do you want to get high too? You know, let's get high together. If you want to do it, then okay.
So if you go over to your friend's house and they have food and don't offer you any.
Yeah. It's sort of like that. Okay. You know, it's kind of something that you do to be polite. Like, hey, do you want some? Or it's like if you're smoking a cigarette and you're like, hey, you want one? Or you want a drag or something? You know, that's what you do. But nobody pressures you for
it. So you don't really, you don't have pressure.
You have to take a really mean person. I mean, I'm not saying this never happened. If it was a really mean person, I could see how that happened, but I don't think that happens as much as people would think it does.
Yeah. Because I think it's conveyed as if there's a lot of pressure for you to participate in group drug use. You think it's conveyed that way?
It is.
And so it's kind of natural that folks will ask you, how much pressure is there?
I've never felt any.
Okay.
You know, I know plenty of people who use different drugs. I know, like I said, I know plenty. If they're on something heavy, they tell me to never do it. Okay. If they're on something, you know, light, like weed or, you know, hallucinogenics, like different hallucinogenics, they're like, hey, if you want some, that's cool. No pressure, though, you know.
Just hold your thoughts. You're tuned into 411 Teen, and we are talking about drugs. We're going to take a brief break, but we will return momentarily. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and we are talking about the drug culture. I had to interrupt you before we went on break. Did you want to continue your thought?
I was saying that I also have had friends that say, hey, never do this drug. And even my friends who do that kind of stuff, they always make sure they have someone there with them who stays clean and will watch them to make sure they don't do anything like
stupid.
Crazy.
They don't overdose or anything like that, because it's so easy to do on a lot of stuff. It's easy to overdose because different qualities, you may be thinking that you're taking, you know, your normal dose of something when it's a higher quality
than you're used to. There's no particular standard.
Yeah. And you can,
like, they don't get a grade.
It's so easy to overdose.
Yeah.
Like, how much people, like what you said, like a lot of students at Sales seem to do a lot of drugs. I mean, in my opinion, it's just, there's drugs at every school.
Right.
There is drugs at every school. It's just there's more light on sale because it's such a smaller population. Like, literally, one time this was last year, and it was like maybe a couple weeks into school, and I was at car pickup, and one of my classmates who in first period actually sit next to, her and her friends were like being really funny at car pickup, so obviously I laughed. And then I asked Jenny, like, do you remember yesterday? And she's just like, I don't, honestly. I was high. And I was just like, you were high? But how? I didn't see any marijuana. She's just like, they were the brownies. And I'm just like,
well, that was my question.
Thank God you didn't eat a brownie. Yeah.
No, but I was just like, who got the brownies? And she's just like, this guy. And I was just like, Wow.
Yeah, that's something you see a lot more is people
edibles.
Instead of, yeah, is edibles, people selling in edibles instead of, you know, here's your half ounce of weed.
He was giving them out to his friends.
You know, instead of people being like, here's your half ounce of weed, you know, more like, here's your pan of brownies.
Yeah.
Or here's your cookies.
But
no, that's how people order them now.
Doesn't that make you hesitant?
It does.
If offered something when you don't know,
yes. I mean, over my high school years.
It was shocking to me because I was just like, I knew there was drugs on sale, but I didn't know that it would be like a person who I sat next to and talked to during first period. I was just like, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's not.
And let's understand, just for our listening audience, we are no way saying that the drugs are only at sale.
No. Definitely not.
They are definitely not.
They're everywhere. It's just that you all were willing to talk about it.
Yeah.
But when we look at marijuana, whether it's grass or pot or weed or chronic or ganja or herb, these are all the street names that are commonly used to refer to marijuana. And marijuana comes from the plant Cannabis sativa. There are more than 200 slang terms for marijuana. Contrary to popular belief, most teenagers and young folks do not use marijuana. It is, however, the most widely used illegal drug among this population. Would you all agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Your kids just don't think that anything's going to happen if they smoke weed. I mean, it's the least hardcore drug. Like, I honestly don't even think of weed as a drug just because it's like I know so many people who use
it's
it
so
and
common.
There's so many other things that are so much worse that you just don't really see as a drug.
But what really gets me is you get the same punishment for selling weed, you know, which is something that you can't really do much harm to somebody on. You can't, you know, roofie somebody with weed. You can't, you know, you can't overdose on weed. You know, if anything, weed, like, when it comes to driving, it makes you, like, more cautious because you don't want to get in it. It makes you more cautious than other things. You know, you have more damaging things that are legal to buy, like cigarettes and alcohol.
Well, that was my next one. I was going to ask you about alcohol. And alcohol is a drug of choice among teens and young adults. Yet often it's not recognized as a drug. Research indicates that 87% of high school seniors have used alcohol. In comparison, 63% have smoked cigarettes, 32% have used marijuana, and only 6% have used cocaine. And these are conservative numbers, okay? So, how popular is alcohol?
I hear it all the time.
I mean, I mean, alcohol has just become such a normal thing. I would never think to call alcohol
a drug
ever.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people just like, you want to have a good time, drink some alcohol. You want to chill, drink some alcohol. Had a bad day, drink some alcohol. It's like, it's just become such a normal thing.
Yeah, it kind of has. And something that a lot of people also don't think about as being a drug is coffee, you know, with the caffeine. That's technically a drug.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That's true. Well, you were saying that they limit it. They limit the coffee access.
Well, I mean, that doesn't stop
kids.
No, I know.
They stop selling it at school, but, I mean, caffeine's technically a drug.
Now, do people have alcohol in school?
Sometimes.
I one time saw a beer pack. Or at least was something that looked like a beer pack. And I was, and me and my friend, I looked down and I was like, dude, I think I saw a beer pack. A four-pack of beer. I literally think I saw a four-pack of beer.
Uh-huh.
Well, the thing is, it's kind of hard to, you know if kids are actually at sale drinking because I'm saying, like, on campus drinking because in the area that we're at, there's a lot of people that just, they'll hop the fence and, you know, walk on campus and stuff and though, like, you know, we're all the time finding, like, crushed beer bottles and stuff there, but I don't think that's
camouflage, though, but you could camouflage alcohol.
I've heard of a lot of that.
Officer French was on a couple of weeks ago from the Tallahassee Police Department. And if you didn't hear that program, you need to pull it up. He was excellent, okay? But with alcohol, you can camouflage it. We're sitting here looking like we're drinking water.
How do we know it's not vodka? Or some light rum.
Or something. So that's why I want to know about, you know, alcohol.
A lot of kids, I don't think, you know, they're not stupid enough to drink on campus. You know, it's so. I said a lot of kids. I
there are a lot that
everyone.
Are stupid enough to drink on campus.
Serious. I don't know if it was a beer pack or not, but I swear it looked like a 4-pack of beer, and that's why I was just like, oh, what?
I mean,
on campus?
I mean, yeah. People what? Are going to do stupid stuff, but I don't think it's, you know, a lot of kids. First, let me say that a lot of problems that you do have, like, at sale, like, the kids that, you know, are getting in trouble for stuff like that, I'm not going to say it's solely freshmen. I'm just going to say it's the newer kids. So, like, any kids that come to sale that are, like, you know, they're new sophomores or they're new juniors, seniors, you have a problem with those kids because they hear all
they
these things
the
about
ropes.
Sale. And so they automatically just assume that, I can get away with smoking pot in the bathrooms and coming to class drunk and stuff like that. They think they can get away with that. We have had problems with that before.
Well,
but,
sure.
I mean, every school
has smoking alarms in the bathrooms now.
Well, I mean, every school, I mean, that kind of
every
stuff would
school.
Happen at every school. But at Sale, it's easier, like, when you're a freshman and you want to get a hold on it, you can definitely get a hold on it because basically everyone knows everyone. Mm-hmm. And you probably have
one friend who
knows somebody who knows somebody.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
you can get it.
Yeah, you can get it way easier. And when you, like...
So alcohol, the accessibility is very easy.
I think one of the things
even
about,
when you're underage.
Yeah, especially with freshmen. They come and they just want to be cool, make friends. And it's not like anyone's pressuring them. They're like, oh, I see kids that seem to be cool doing this, so I'm going to do it too.
They've seen too many, like, cult movies where it's like, oh, yeah, high school, it's all about drinking and partying, and I'm totally going to do that and be one of the cool kids.
Let's reenact Skins UK.
Yeah. We were just talking today in class about somebody that almost everybody at Sale knows that they're like a 20-something-year-old, and, you know, if they're all the time, they'll go out and they'll buy kids alcohol if they want it, and, you know, they'll buy them drugs, and you know, it's just... They make
just
it so much easier.
So gross. Just give them the money.
I mean, this person is also, you know, somebody that everyone suggests you don't be around. Like, after hanging out with them for, like, a month or two, everybody's like, never hang out with that person. Everybody, almost
everybody
everyone
knows.
In Tallahassee knows them, to be honest. Like, I've gone to so many places, and I've overheard people talking about this person. That's how notorious they are. But I'm gonna, of course,
so
I'm not going to name
names. Really,
but yeah.
Well, let me. What type of education did you receive, wherever, home, school, about drugs and alcohol? And I'll start with you, and we'll go around the table.
I have learned about almost every drug there is because I have. My dad, who has either used every type of drug or, you know, he's at least tried every type of drug. My mom has tried everything, like, once or twice, even if she never, like, went with it. And she's told me before, if I have a question, she'll tell me. You know, as long as it's not, like, a new drug, like Molly or whatever that is. You know, she's never tried that. She's not in that scene anymore. Where's she going to be able to try that? But, you know... I can find out almost everything, you know, I just have to ask. And it's the same with alcohol and almost anything I want to know. If I have a question and my mom's experienced it, she's going to answer. And it's about anything.
Well, that's so. You have a real good open communication with your mother. What about information you may have that may have been conveyed in school? How do they handle that? Go to you.
I don't really get much information from my parents. I'm not sure. I don't think they were that kind of people at all in high school. They may have tried some stuff, but I know they weren't as educated as Savannah's parents who tried everything.
Hey, it was the 80s.
So, but I have really good friends that they're kind of in that scene. Like, they have friends that are in that scene, so they know a lot, and they've tried things. And, you know, if I ever have a question, they won't judge me. They'll just tell me the straightforward answer, like, don't try this, you know, this is what I've done, this is what this will do you. And also the internet. The internet is, the biggest thing that, it's more like self-education. Like, there's nothing really at school telling you this is bad for you and don't do this and do this. It's, drugs is just a thing that teachers know what's happening. It's just, they just don't want to address it.
Okay, so it's not addressed at all.
Well, I think,
and I guess that's why you all really wanted to talk about it.
I think that it's more of a problem. They feel like it's more of a problem to address it, because then they actually might have to answer questions, which they may be uncomfortable with. And at school, you're only told, don't do drugs, no matter what. Don't do them. They don't tell you why you don't do them. They don't tell you what happens to you if you do them. They just say, don't do drugs. You could die. Don't do drugs. You could get arrested. Don't do drugs.
Yeah.
You know,
your license will get suspended.
And another thing is, like, kids are just kind of dumb. Too dumb to handle things like drugs. And, like, my friends, like, they've been around that kind of environment long enough to know what to do and what not to do to get in trouble, or, like, to do it without, you know, end up dead in a ditch. A lot of kids will go and try it. They'll go crazy, like, with all this freedom once they get to high school. And they go way overboard with it. And then they end up
when they go to college.
Yeah. And then they end up dropping out or getting kicked out. And a loser who, like, all they care about is the next time they can get high. And before they know it, they end up homeless or something, you know. And it's...
Another problem, I think, is that a lot of kids, you know, they're not educated about these drugs, you know. What, like I said, they're not educated, so they don't know what is a safe amount of this drug for me to take. And so a lot of kids, they end up maybe not overdosing enough to die, but they still end up overdosing. And, you know,
that's a big problem with the edibles.
It's a
very big problem because they're more
concentrated.
They're more concentrated. They have no standard.
They hit you higher.
And that's becoming a real problem. I've read reports out of Colorado just talking about the edibles.
Yeah, and what I was going to say about what I've learned about drugs is that, when you're at sale, you'll learn, obviously, about 420. Because a lot of kids at sale actually do get high and on 420. And
what do you mean by 420?
420 is supposedly the time of day that you're supposed to get high. And on April 20th, National Get High Day, there's a lot of kids that skip school
that
day.
That's why I was kind of giggling really.
Okay,
I was like, 420.
Okay.
So that's the joke. It's just one of those, you know, jokes that, you know, if anybody says that number, it's like 666, 420, 69. You know, it's one of those magical numbers that's bound to make people break out in giggles.
Also, what I've learned is, okay, I have a friend who I used to live really close to, but now I don't. But I still talk to her sometimes. And actually, I asked her one time because she knew my rule, like, do drugs, drink, smoke, I don't care, don't force me to do it. And she knows that. And one time she was just like, wait, I'm going to smoke a little bit. And I was just like, can I smell it? Because people say that it has a smell. And I was just like, I just want to know what it smells like, even after this, I still can't pick up the smell to save my life. I smelled it, and I was just like, ooh, sweaty gym socks and earthy stuff.
Oh, that's what it smells
like. It's like cigarettes mixed with sweaty gym socks. Or a very sweaty guy.
Yeah, it gets to the point where some kids, you can walk past them and just like,
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I can't smell it, though. I can't.
You'll walk into classrooms sometimes, and it will be like, oh, my gosh.
One time I went to the girls' bathroom, and I was like, oh, my gosh. I couldn't even use the bathroom there because I was getting a headache. And, like, I could kind of feel like, because when it's that much, when you're smelling that much, you can get high from just smelling it. So I had to leave the bathroom because I went to.
But you feel like you can.
And
how are they addressed? I mean, and by that I mean by the powers that be, the administrators, the teachers.
A lot of time, teachers, what do they do? Well, if it's very, if the smell is very prominent in the classroom, they might call somebody from the office down. And, you know, they might have somebody and they might pull a few kids out of class and, you know, either question them or, you know, search them, something like that. They might do
how
that.
Do they how's it determined who to pull out? That's what I mean.
Kids that, like, have history of that stuff, they might, you know, be the teacher might be able to figure out where the smell's coming from in the room. Like, you know, hey, it's very strong towards the back. You know, we might want to pull the kids from the back of the room and question them and stuff like that.
Okay.
And also, I've learned that if a if somebody's eyes look really glassy and a little
bloodshot,
red, you can tell. And last year on career day, there was a guy who was obviously high because he was like, hey, yeah, man. And his eyes were bloodshot. And me and my friend was just like, you really just got high on career day? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and teachers can tell. You know, they're not stupid. They have eyes. They can tell when a kid's high, you know, but I think a lot of times they just, they can't really do anything about it. You know, if they call the office down, then, you know, there's, unless they decide to drug test the student, if there's nothing on them, there's nothing that they can really do. If you can't smell anything on them, there's nothing you can do without, you know, drug testing a kid, which I don't think that they can do.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times, there's just, like I said, nothing that you can do. But if they, you know, the sense like heavy in the classroom, they will call the administration down. And
we're going to take a break, but we will return momentarily. It appears that cigarette smoking by youth continues to drop. In fact, the Monitoring the Future survey reports that 6.7% of high school seniors reported smoking daily in 2014, down from 8.5% in 2013. However, other forms of tobacco remain popular. E-cigarettes, where the nicotine is vaporized and inhaled, not smoked, is popular. But the health impact of e-cigarettes is not clear. Let's look at e-cigarettes for a while. Yes, ma'am.
I actually have a family member who is about 14, 15. He's my cousin who lives in Tennessee. But I swear to God, he has older friends, and he just admitted to his dentist he smokes cigarettes, and he's got fungus on his teeth due to him not brushing. And, but he also admitted he smokes cigarettes, and he has a vape that his mom lets him have. So I'm just like, are you kidding me? You don't do that. Do you know?
I'm just surprised. But let's look at that. Are we sending him, or is she mixed messages? If his mother is condoning it, and she lets him have it, your cousin.
No, his old vape broke, and she bought him a new one, and she just makes sure there's no nicotine in the vape, but still, he smokes cigarettes, and it's just like, are you kidding
How's there no nicotine? Yeah. What?
I guess you have the to whole buy it. I mean, I don't know much about the e-cigarettes, but you have to buy the nicotine.
No, but he has a vape.
But the thing is the the vaporizer, what it is it burns, it's basically nicotine juice. That's what I'm going to call it. It's basically nicotine juice.
Juice, right.
And you put it in the vape, and it heats it up, and it turns it into steam, basically, and it vaporizes it. So if you don't have the nicotine in there,
but you can get the nicotine, because people who are using e-cigarettes to break the habit, you buy a little vial of nicotine, okay? And that's what you vape, okay? So it's that nicotine that you is so addicted.
But still, it was just like, when I found that out, I was just like, are you kidding me?
I think
that is not right.
I think the culture is 14, 15. With, like, smoking is switching to vaping. because I've seen, like, my little sister has this one app. I don't remember what it was called. It's when they do, like, little snippets where they, like, mouth music. I don't remember what it's called, but I hate it. It's more middle schoolers, and I've seen, like, videos of little, like, 12-year-old boys vaping. And, and the kids I know now who smoke real cigarettes, it's like they only smoke them occasionally, and they know it's not good for them just because of all the commercials and people throwing in our face all the time.
So, don't cigarette smoke, don't smoking,
smoke.
People
are aware that it's not healthy for them, but I think that's why people are switching to vapes, because
they think that's way better.
Yeah, it's considered healthier you know, it's you're not inhaling that smoke into your lungs.
And you're not burning that.
But it's still, it's nicotine going into your body, which is another drug that it does mess up your body. Maybe not as much as the cigarettes, because the cigarettes, it has more than just the nicotine. It has all these other chemicals.
And that's right.
You know, that's what causes the cancer, is all these other chemicals, not the nicotine, not the tobacco itself. Well, I mean, it does, but not to the degree of the other chemicals in the cigarettes.
I think people are, like, abusing it in general, vaping and stuff, because, like, it was made to get off the cigarette addiction. And people are just getting on a new addiction.
Yeah.
And it's not as bad as cigarettes, but it still can cause you health problems that you would never even have had if you never started.
This is meant for smokers.
It's like people that get, like, nicotine patches or nicotine gum.
You're right.
So that, and just, they don't wean themselves off. They just keep going with those patches and that gum to get their nicotine in a different way.
Well, that sends me back to the original position. Is the question is, are we sending teens mixed messages from adults, whether it's about e-cigarettes or whether it's about marijuana or whether it's about alcohol? Are we giving them mixed messages when we, the adults in their lives, parents, older brothers, sisters, whomever, condone it? What message are we sending?
Well, let me just make this clear. My aunt, it's weird. She doesn't really punish, because my cousin knows, like, if he bugs her enough, she'll just let him do what they want. But, I mean, I don't really think we send them mixed messages. We just try and make sure that they know what it can cause. Mm-hmm. Because there are kids in my grade who are actually actually smoking, and I see them in the parking lot smoking cigarettes. I'm just like, wow.
And they're smoking cigarettes.
And not in the school parking lot. They they park in the community center, and they'll be smoking over there. But I think the only way you can really be sending somebody mixed messages is if you tell them, hey, don't do this, and then go and you, like, it was like, hey, don't drink alcohol. Here's a beer. You know,
right. Well, it's the same thing if we say don't smoke, and then we condone using e-cigarettes.
Yeah,
it's trying to act like grown up and try to be cool, because that's like a thing, teens being grown up.
Yeah,
is
they have
cool.
to have their independence.
Yeah, and teens don't like to realize that it's not for us, and it's not a bad thing that it's not for us. It's just it's not for us.
I think another thing is also kids feel like that when they are doing this stuff, that they're being, like I said, about the independence. They feel like they're being more independent and more adult. And when they're doing this stuff, they're finding a way to get it. That makes them feel more adult, you know, that they're able to go about getting it themselves.
Especially the way they're being sneaky about it.
Yeah, they think that they're being sneaky about it, and they're not.
And they don't notice that there's a smell to cigarettes, and they can smell on your breath, and it smells
awful. Yeah, like, I think kids take pride in having that, like, thing on the side, like, like having, like, those friends that are like, hey, man, can we do this? And it's kind of like, you know, a secretive, like, thing just in between them, and they kind of like it. Because I've seen plenty of kids be like, oh, hey, man, do you have a lighter on you? And kind of, they're not being super secretive about it, because you could tell they kind of want other people to know.
Yeah.
If you're really trying to be secretive, I mean, cell phones, you would text them.
That's true.
Yeah, Yeah, it said they're like, hey, you have a lighter?
They're looking around at other kids.
Like, a lighter I can use?
Look at me, I'm doing something bad.
Well, when
I'm
you think so about
bad. I skipped class 6 to smoke a cigarette out at the other parking lot.
Well, when you think about it, from your perspective, whose responsibility is it to provide the information that you need and want about drugs?
I think it's up to both the school and the parents, because the school should provide, you know, as part of a health education, they should provide accurate education on drugs, alcohol, and cigarettes, and all tobacco products. They should provide accurate information, but I also think that it's up to the parents to inform their kids, you know, like, this is what it's like, you know, this is why it's bad, you know, it's
so
up
it's
to them.
So it's a shared responsibility.
Yeah, I think everyone. Shared, especially if a parent has had these experiences, I think that they should tell the kid, you know, this is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I just feel like just talking about it at school, like just having a class discussion about it, yeah, it'll take class time out of it, but you're teaching kids about maybe your own experience with cigarettes or something like that, or drugs and all this, so that the kids know, because the kids aren't going to listen to their parents because it's in one ear, out the other. When it comes to their parents, they learn better from somewhere else. And I know there are teachers who have done drugs, like, don't be lying. We all know you do.
Mm-hmm.
80s. Or did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
70s,
yeah,
80s.
What about
and so I think, was just like,
oh, go ahead.
Just talking about it would probably help, because then they know from first on experience someone other than their parents, so that they know the consequences of how weird the situation can get.
What about health concerns? Is that a concern among your population at all?
For me, but for most of us, no. There's like a lot of kids our age that are like, I don't care if I die. Like, because with the internet and everything, teens feel like they're enlightened now.
Yeah.
So they're like, I don't care if I die. I'm going to die anyway. I'm going to eat this cheeseburger because I don't care if I die.
I'm going to die anyway. And I'm going to live happy, as unhealthy as I am. I'm going to be happy. And
okay.
There's a lot of kids that feel so bad. Every day, though, there are a lot of kids that feel so bad that they don't care if what they're doing could kill them in a split second. They don't care because they want to die anyways. I know a couple of kids that are like that.
It's like they don't care that tar builds up in their lungs.
I don't think it's that they don't care. I just think they're kind of lazy about it because they just don't want to try to stop. They're just going to do it anyways. Because if they die, like, most kids do care about dying. It's just other kids say it. So why not me say it? That's a reason. So I'm going to say this reason.
Well, let's talk in these last few minutes about some of the other drugs. What about inhalants? Now, are they popular at all? And by that, I mean, you know, sniffing glue and gas and paint.
Don't think those are very popular on people.
I'm just wondering.
Yeah, just they're popular for people who don't have access to other drugs. Like, I know somebody who just this past year died from her thing was that she would inhale the canned air, like, you know, what you use to clean keyboards with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she died because she inhaled too much of that and it froze her lungs. I think the most popular things are, you know, weed. Heroin.
Oh, we didn't talk about heroin.
Meth.
Acid.
Acid. Oh, yeah, acid. Which
right up there with marijuana.
They don't sell the drugs to make, or they don't sell the chemicals to make acid anymore, so it's just rat poison. It's glorified rat poison. People literally use rat poison.
People don't know what they're getting. You had a comment.
I did not know that you could get high from smelling paint.
It's the fumes.
The fumes.
People tell you don't sniff Sharpies.
Like, what?
Yeah.
I did not know that you could get high from that, honestly. And I'm just like, that's kind of stupid because, like, to me, Sharpies don't smell that good. It hurts my nose.
Exactly. But it's because you're not, what you're doing is you're inhaling the fumes and not enough oxygen. It's like when you're sucking the helium out of a balloon.
Yeah,
you, like, you can get, like, the headache and all. Well, if you do that enough, you can kind of get high off of that. But what it is, it's, you're not getting enough oxygen to your brain.
Yeah, I know I do helium, and that's purely because, hey, I got a balloon.
It's fun.
Yeah.
And plus, I sound funny. It's
high pitch.
Well, what about heroin? We hear so much about heroin. I mean, it is on the front page. You know, we have whole states and whole communities
that Baltimore have just,
Baltimore is in a complete heroin epidemic. Well, the state of Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
They're having, I mean, we're not just talking about one city. We're talking about the state of Vermont, you know, is having all out war on heroin.
Mm-hmm. Rest in peace, Corey Monteith from Glee.
Yeah. Okay, what about heroin? I mean, are you aware of heroin use? Talk to me about
it. I'm not
it. What do you know?
Aware of it very strongly in Tallahassee. Same. It's sort of hard to get in Tallahassee just because of our location. When you go farther into South Florida, it's more easy to find it.
Mm-hmm.
When you go basically anywhere else, you know, it's easier to get your hands on, but because of where we are in Florida, our location, it's easier to get weed. It's easier to get meth because, you know, meth is a big thing, you know, made in the South.
Okay, so is meth, besides what we've talked about, what else is popular?
I think we just talked about the main.
Yeah.
The ones I hear people using because I feel like it's sales, since it's a smaller population. You could talk to the kids who do that kind of stuff more.
Well, no,
drugs like heroin, people are like, yeah, that's kind of scary. People do hardcore drugs like that. Because I feel like a lot of kids at sale in general aren't that dumb. They aren't that dumb to do the hardcore stuff. But some kids are. And
they just want to feel a tiny bit rebellious.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's harder to get access to the heavy stuff where we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know because, like I said, I have friends. They want to try this stuff, but they have no access to it. Or if they do have access to it, it's in insane prices.
Okay. Now, you also mentioned that other hallucinogens may be used. What other hallucinogens are you referring to?
You have acid, you have ecstasy, you have LSD, which can be the same as acid, but not always. You have mushrooms, you have Molly.
Yeah.
The magic shrooms. But
you'll learn a lot from watching Skins. You learn a lot.
Now, are mushrooms popular? I mean, are these that you have named?
One of my first few days at sales, some kid offered me mushrooms. I at that time, I didn't know what that meant. I was like, there's a gardening club? Is he growing
official gardening club?
Mushrooms are hard to get because they have to be grown from cow manure, and it's like a certain type of mushroom.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know because of, you know, my mom and my dad, I know a lot about almost every type of drug. If you ask me a question, I can probably answer it for you, at least about, you know, maybe not what it is exactly, but, like, what it does to you. I can tell you, you know, like, what its effects are. I can't tell you how you're going to react to it.
Right.
Because everyone reacts differently.
Okay. What about, and this may be really out in left field, but we hear a lot about athletes using steroids. Now, do you
I am aware of it, and I'm surprised that NFL is it some NFL players?
It's almost every sport.
And I'm just like, are you kidding me? Like, my thing is, what is your reason? Like, just be a better player? Dude, being a better player, you just need to freaking practice and work your butt off. And I mean, if it's like the pressure of it, it's just like, okay, if there's a lot of pressure about that, then let someone know. Like, let someone in the NFL administration know that, yeah.
Okay.
I think something that a lot of people don't understand, though, is people get steroids from their doctor. My mom had to get steroids when she had when her back was messed up about 2 years ago. I mean, her back is always messed up, but this time more than usual. She had to get steroids from her doctor, and, you know, she'd take the pill, and it was like, you know, it was like once it was like this many times a week, and it like it actually had like a little chart showing where it went down to like the last like couple pills. And you know, it's not, people aren't, it's not as popular as it used to be, I don't think, because it's a lot harder to get. People are more aware of it. I think a lot of teams
are very strict now.
And I think a lot of teams have started to do like drug to like random drug tests or, you know, stuff like that.
Well, I just, again, extend my sincere appreciation and thanks for your just your candor in talking about this, you know, relatively controversial, you know, topic. To my listening audience, tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollifield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.